This is my country. Young people, you're dismissed. You can all go back. You're going to eat chocolate, drink pop. They'll have a good lesson, good Bible lesson for them. If you have a Bible today, turn to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 17. Judges chapter 17. Praise the Lord for the 4th of July, the Declaration of Independence, and all that it means to us today. It's just such a blessing. We have the rule of law in our country. I'm thankful for the Constitution because it's something that we can go to and look, and it gives us our freedom. It was not always so all throughout history and all through the Scriptures. There's two verses that say the same thing in the book of Judges. One is chapter 17 and verse 6, and we'll read that. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's a real problem when there's no leadership. And we see at the end of the book of Judges, we see the same thing, the last verse in the last chapter. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I'm thankful for, again, the Constitution. I'm thankful for a Bible. I'm thankful for the rule of law. And we trust that God will help us to just enjoy the day and its meaning and give glory to God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we're so grateful for the King that we have, the King Jesus. And I pray that he would guide our lives now today and speak to our hearts. And may we enjoy the freedoms that we have in our country and the price that has been paid for that. Bless now in this service in Jesus' name. Amen. They did what was right in their own eyes. And if there's no law, there's no rule, and there's no way that you can punish wrongdoing. But this is a common theme throughout the Scripture. In Psalm 36 and verse 2, the Bible says, "He that flattereth himself in his own eyes." That's pretty common. We don't want to see anything wrong with us. We would rather see something wrong with somebody else. We have Isaiah 5:21, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." The Bible says, let God be true. Amen? And so to be wise in our own conceits is really a problem. There are two types of wisdom in the Bible. There's God's wisdom, and there's the wisdom of this world. Amen? And God's wisdom, obviously, is the right choice. And we find in James chapter 3, the wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. But the wisdom that's from beneath is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So the choice is God. Job 32:1, Job's three friends. "So these three ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes." They were trying to tell him something, but he had a difference of opinion, and so they just stopped because they weren't getting anywhere. I don't know if you've ever talked to somebody or been on the other side of that where you justified everything. And once you do that without really considering what the issue is, there's no sense talking anymore, right? It's irresistible force and an immovable object, and nothing is solved. Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." In our day and age, we see governments led and governed by politics. And isn't it wonderful in America that no matter what television show or what newscast, what newspaper you read, that everybody is just getting along so well? Isn't that just wonderful? There's no disagreement, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of disagreement. And who's right? You know, are the Democrats right? And let's not respond to any of this, please. Are the Republicans right? Are the Independents right? Are the Libertarians right? And all of these different groups, you know, that think they have the answer, and they differ. They differ, and sometimes they compromise, and then they're both wrong, you know, but they want to come to some agreement. So politics, who is right? I don't know if you remember the old television show Dragnet. Anybody remember that? And Sergeant Friday, and he would always say, "Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts." Remember that statement? and then they would solve the case. But who is right? The Declaration of Independence was written in 1776, and it says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident. There were truths that they built this upon. And it says that all men are created equal. That's a strong statement, but it's a biblical statement. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is the Declaration of Independence. That was written in 1776. On December 18th, 1865, 89 years later, the 13th Amendment was adopted as part of the United States Constitution. The amendment officially abolished slavery and immediately freed a lot of slaves. Well, how do you get all men are created equal? Why did it take 89 years to abolish that? If all men were created equal, amen? And so there are laws given, and man can make mistakes. Man can not do what's right, but God ultimately helps us. Amen. And I'm thankful for America. I'm thankful, like I said, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, all of those things, because at least there's a rule of law. But in our country today, it seems like the rule of law is being violated. And we'll see that as we go through the service. The Civil War brought about freedom for the slaves, but that wasn't the only cause of the Civil War. But the Civil War was from April 12th, 1861, April 9th, 1865. And there's an interesting statement about this. The number of soldiers who died between 1861 and 1865 is generally estimated at 620,000 soldiers. Think about that. This was the Civil War. This was brother against brother. 620,000 soldiers died. That's approximately equal to the total of American fatalities in the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, the Mexican War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, and the Korean War combined. All of those wars, all the soldiers that died in those wars, the number was the Civil War deaths. Isn't that amazing? Brother against brother. Who's right? Who was right? And we go back to biblical principle. Amen? We go back to what God would say. Who's right? Somebody said about that, each side takes the position of the man who was arrested for swinging his arms and hitting another in the nose, and asked the judge if he did not have a right to swing his arms in a free country. It's a free country. I can swing my arms wherever. And this was the judge's response. Your right to swing your arms ends just where the other man's nose begins. So you can swing your arms, but it's wrong when you swing it and touch his nose. Amen. Somebody else said, a man's personal liberty to drink whiskey and support bar rooms ends where the rights of the family and the community begin. There is a penalty for driving DWI, driving while intoxicated. And, you know, somebody could say, well, it's my right to be able to do that. But I think the license ought to be taken away before a life is taken away. And these dear folks are our friends, and they've been in the ministry with us for a long time. And they know the man that I'm going to mention, but not by name. He's been in our church too. But I remember the phone call, and his family was in an accident. A drunk driver had hit them. And one of their sons was on life support. And he has suffered ever since. That accident happened a long time ago. I remember the drive after we got the call, and he and I were in the car, and we were praying all the way. It was a distance away. They were in a hospital. And as we got to the emergency room, the drunk driver, was also being examined. And he was standing in the hallway, and right in the same hallway was a bed with this young man in it. That was a hard pill to swallow. But somebody that could cause that much damage, they have no right. You understand the principle. Amen. You may understand the principle. A man's liberty should not take away my safety and my liberty. I remember I used to do a lot of traveling. I flew a lot. And one time I even flew the coop. But I did fly a lot. And on planes, they used to have a smoking section. I don't know if you're familiar with that or have heard of that. There's a smoking. So at one row, this is non-smoking. And from this row back, it's smoking. You know, which made no sense at all. And so if the closer you got to the smoking section, I mean, it was like sitting in the smoking section. Restaurants were like that. Remember that? You had a non-smoking section and a smoking section. And the smoke would fill the whole place. Secondhand smoke is a problem. Amen? But somebody said, well, I have the right to do this wherever I want. And so down through history, and these are minor things, but they get bigger. Amen? Because people claim their rights. There was an attorney general, and his name was John Ashcroft, and he wrote this back in 2002. He gave a speech, and it's a little bit lengthy. It's a couple paragraphs, and it's a little complicated, but I want to bring it out because this was the flavor of America. This is what those right in America wanted to establish. Throughout our history, he begins, there have been periods such as now when the most essential security of our nation is threatened. We see that today. It is natural at times like these when the government is exercising some of its broadest powers under the Constitution to protect our security. To recall Benjamin Franklin's now famous caution that, quote, that they can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety, they deserve neither safety nor liberty. So he's talking about giving up liberty. Franklin's quotation is often answered with Justice Robert H. Jackson's admonition that the Constitution's Bill of Rights is not a suicide pact, that blind and unreasonable insistence on liberty will ultimately threaten the very existence of liberty. It should become a little clearer. There's an obvious tension between these two sentiments. On the one hand, there is a legitimate concern that we not sacrifice those very freedoms that make us Americans in the name of protecting America. On the other hand, we cannot allow those who would destroy America use our liberties as weapons against us. In order for there to be liberty in America, there must be an America. Amen? And so we have a constitution. We have all of this. But it seems like it's being left behind, that people are claiming more liberty and more rights, and yet they're destroying the America that we know. This tension has often been reconciled by what George Washington called ordered liberty. British statesman Edmund Burke explained it as liberty connected with order, liberty that not only exists along with order and virtue, but which cannot exist at all without them. So there's an ordered liberty. We have rights, amen, but there is a limit to those rights. And it goes on, ordered liberty is not a license. It is not, as Judge Learned Hand said, the ruthless, the unbridled will. Learned Hand warned that absent order, liberty becomes license, ultimately leading to the denial of liberty. In a world of unbridled license, the strong do what they will and the weak suffer for it, because they're going to take the upper hand. And it's going to be their will against their will, and the strongest survive. And you see that. We see that in politics today. We see that all across the world, but certainly in our land. The Bible answers this. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. All things. Amen. That is in the government, in God we trust. Amen. We were built on biblical principles here, and certainly in our churches. Whose order? Well, we are to obey the laws of the land. That's Romans chapter 13. And the Bible says that the powers that be are ordained of God, and those powers are for our good. And only the evildoers have a problem with those. Amen. The righteous don't have a problem with law and order. We like it. Amen? We don't want to defund the police. We want the police to be able to keep order. And then you have Acts chapter 5. And in Acts chapter 5, the disciples were told not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And it says, they said back, this was their response, we ought to obey God rather than man. So there is a point sometimes where we come to the place where we cannot do what the government says because this is what God says. Do you remember the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the king said, bow down and worship this golden image. And they said, no, we won't bow down. And they said, well, then you're going to go in the fiery furnace. And they said, we will choose that rather than bow down to an idol. Amen? So you have that principle. But there is so much that we can go on with, and I don't want to define every law there is. But sometimes, well, let me say this. Where there's no law, there's no order. And there has to be law. And it cuts both ways. And sometimes it's not something that we like, but it is a law that keeps order. Remember the seatbelt law? Nobody going to tell me to wear a seatbelt. Well, the officer will, or you'll pay him $50 or whatever. Speed limit. Nobody going to tell me how to speed. Well, you know, and sometimes you get away with it. But if you don't, and all of the things, how about distracted driving? They have that now. I remember driving a bus in Portage, Michigan, Kalamazoo area, and I took college students to their classes. And I remember during the summer, there were hardly any accidents, but when school started again, especially the first days of school, there was always 5, 6, telling the truth, 7, 8 accidents. And they were always somebody rear-ending somebody else. And it was because of this. You know what that is. That's your hand. No, that's a cell phone. And so these laws, they're good. Amen? Some of these laws are good. Say, well, I think you ought to have the right to do whatever you want. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Amen? My rights. Let's talk about my rights. The Bible says that in all things, Jesus ought to have the preeminence. He's the head of the church, right? He's our coming king. He's our God. So everything he requires is right. So let everything be done decently and in order. And then he gives us the order to that. And we do have rights in the Bible, but sometimes God tells us to sacrifice your rights, to not claim your rights. Remember in the scripture where the Jews were under Roman bondage. Rome was in power, and the Jews were subservient to that power. And there was a verse or a law that said a Roman soldier or a Roman could compel a Jewish person to carry their load, but he could only compel them to carry it 1 mile, just 1 mile. And so God says, if they compel you to carry the load 1 mile, go with them twain. That's where we get the second mile, going the second mile. The second mile was grace. The first mile was law. I have to do this. But God says, go the second mile. That's grace. And so we live our life by grace. Amen? You want to be nice to the neighbor, but it's my property, and his dog went on my property. Don't shoot the dog. Amen? You say, but in my city, we're allowed to shoot the dog. Well, but you're not going to do much for the gospel. Amen? Remember the Apostle Paul? Paul and Silas are on a missionary journey, Acts chapter 16. They go to Philippi. God is working. God is doing some wonderful things there. And then they take Paul and they take Silas and they throw them in prison. But they beat them. They put their hands and feet in stocks. They're going to kill them in the morning. And you know the story. Paul and Silas are singing praises to God at midnight. Earthquake happens. All the jail cells are open. Nobody leaves because I believe they all got one to the Lord by Paul and Silas and their influence. But there's an interesting thing there. Paul was a Roman. And all he had to do, the first lash, the first convicting word, all he had to do was say, I'm a Roman. And they wouldn't have beat him. They wouldn't have jailed him without a trial. They would have treated him much different. And then the second lash and the third lash. And he's not saying a word. I believe God was saying to Paul, just give up your rights here. There's a bigger glory going to come because of that. Maybe they beat him. I know they were going to be put to death. And so here comes the jailer, and he doesn't know what to do. And finally Paul says, go tell your superiors that I'm a Roman. And boy, everybody was afraid then. And so they came, and they were real nice to Paul, real nice to Silas, and they besought them to leave. It was a whole different ballgame. Paul could have said at the very onset, I'm a Roman, and eliminated all that suffering. But the gospel went forward. Amen? And he would have never had that opportunity in that jail. I'm not saying do things to go to jail. Amen? But you can do a great work wherever you are. It doesn't hurt the gospel. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. And let's read here beginning in verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. And we can picture that as your job. You're working a job, you have a master, you have a boss, somebody's telling you what to do. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle. Man, I've got a good boss. He looks out for me. He's a blessing. But it says, but also to the froward. Ungovernable, just difficult to live with. Difficult. It goes on, it says, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. And it goes on. And when he was reviled, he reviled not against them. And all of the different things our Savior did, he was God. Amen? He could have come down from the cross anytime he wanted. He gave up his right so that he could die and pay for our sins. And sometimes we do that. Amen? And you can have a wonderful relationship at work if you don't have to be right. You can have a great relationship with other people. Amen? If you don't have to be right all the time. If we're always right in our own eyes, then we're always going to justify our wrongdoing or blame the wrong on somebody else. They just don't see it. And so Job's three friends, I mean, the light bulb went off. There's no sense talking. Job doesn't get this. All we're going to do is cause an argument. Amen? Who's right? God's right. How is he right? He tells us. He shows us. This is how we get along with people. This is how we live in our country. This is how we obey the laws or do something different. Won't I got to be careful what I say here. This message is on YouTube and it goes around the world. It's watched by 12 billion people. And there's not even 12 billion people in the world. Amen? But like I said, in the book of Daniel, they would not bow. They would not worship that golden image. And they were thrown in the fiery furnace. So sometimes we take a stand like that. In Proverbs 29 and verse 2, the Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Why would people rejoice if the righteous were in authority? Because they're righteous people. But the Bible says, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Why would they mourn? Because the wicked are ruling them. And there's no way to enjoy that, but there is a way to be obedient to God and have an opportunity to win people to Christ. Amen? I think we'll see that as we get into the message a little more. Something is happening in America. Something has been happening in America from 1776 to what's going on right now. It's absolutely amazing. 2 Timothy 3 says, in the last days perilous times shall come, and it defines that. Luke 17:26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. the days of Noah, the days of Lot. You go back in the Bible to Genesis and you read what it was like. And it's like that today. It is like that today. As it was in those days, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. Now we have freedom to assemble. Amen? We have freedom to worship. We have freedom to sing our songs. We have freedom to pray. That's a blessing. We have freedom to witness. I don't know how long we'll have that freedom, but we ought to use it while we have it. Amen? It's a great idea. But we can see it coming. Thank the Lord. God bless America, and God we trust. We have the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and we have the Bible. But we see something coming. And if you see it coming, you ought to prepare for it. Amen? Our country has changed a lot morally and politically since 1776, and our country has changed a lot spiritually. Back in 1867, somebody wrote this: the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. If you just, you know, a child left to himself, if you just let it go, it's just going to get bad. Another person said, let not anyone pacify his conscience by the delusion that he can do no harm if he takes no part. Jesus addressed this in the one of his sermons. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, he says to us, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost his savor — savor is the quality which renders something valuable — ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. If the salt has lost its savor, then it's good for nothing. It's not going to accomplish anything. What good is our testimony if we don't tell it? I've heard some wonderful testimonies. I have a wonderful testimony of salvation. I mean, it's just a miracle in my life. My wife has a wonderful testimony of her salvation. You, if you're saved, you look back and you see how God brought you to that point, and the people he used, and the miracle that he worked, and you're saved today. You're in church, and you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. That was a miracle. But if we don't tell it, who's going to know it? I mean, it's a, you know, here's the woman at the well. Come see a man, told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ? I mean, the city's coming out to see what was going on there. So many things. What a testimony. John chapter 9, the blind man. Remember, Jesus healed him, and they were trying to get Jesus in trouble by questioning the blind man. He said, one thing I know, maybe you don't know, or you can't speak real well, or you're a little bit shy about sharing your testimony, but the blind man said, one thing I know, I was blind and now I see. That's a pretty good testimony. Amen? It's not real involved, but it certainly works. What good is our Bible if we don't share it? Well, I get a lot out of it. Yeah, but the Bible says his word will not return unto him void. So we have to give it out for it to work. Amen? The scriptures work, but if it's just our Bible, it sits in our shelf and comes to church with us on Sunday, and that's it. We need to share the Bible because we are living Bibles. We're walking Bibles. You're not going to, at work, you know, take a Bible out. You're not allowed to do that anymore, probably. But you can say something. What good is a sermon if we don't hear it? Preach the word. God chose the foolishness of preaching. What is it in Revelation? Let him that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit says. It's more than words. And this is a little heavy today because we're reading a lot of stuff and, you know, this and that and the other thing. But the truth is there. And we are living in a nation that is going down. Maybe it could go up financially and that would make a lot of people happy. But morally, righteously, it is not. And the Christian needs to take advantage of the darkness because his light will be brighter. What good is our name Christian if we don't live it? We're Acts chapter 11. They were first called Christians in Antioch. We're followers of Christ. And we ought to welcome that name. It goes on in Matthew chapter 5, connected with ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Ye are the light of the world. Listen to this verse. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Luke 11:36, if thy whole body be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. We are Christians, and the light is in us. Amen. The light of the word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, the light of the spirit. All of this light is in us. And if the whole, let's take it as a church. If the whole is light, it's a lot brighter in here. Amen? If we came in at night and turned all the lights out and one candle was lit over here, that's not a lot of light. But if another one over here and it gets brighter, and if everybody had a candle, I mean, you would be maxed out of the light you could produce. If we're all light, amen, walk in the light as he is in the light, and you'll have fellowship one with another. If we're all light, it's going to be a church that gives that light out, amen. Somebody could come in and feel that spirit and be touched by it and thank God for it. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. You're the light of the world. Paul in 2 Timothy 4:8, this is the end of his life. And he says in verse 6, I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And then he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, unto all those that love his appearing. That's an Independence Day when we're finally with the Lord. There's another one too. That's the day we get saved. Amen? Because God makes us free. Paul was salt and he was light. Jesus said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Romans 6:22, being now made free from sin. Our salvation provides that. Sin hath no more dominion over us. The penalty of sin is paid by Christ on the cross. Amen. And so that light dwells within us. God lighteth us. It's a blessing. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's a blessing to know the Lord, but it's also a blessing to serve the Lord. Amen? It's a blessing that you saw the light one day, saw the need to be saved, and that you acted upon that, and Christ made you a new creature. That's a blessing. But it's also a blessing when he uses you to share that light and somebody else gets saved. That's the whole principle. Amen. It's my light. I share it with you and you have light. And the room brightens up. And then they share it with another and it gets brighter and brighter. Our family starts to get saved. Our neighbors start to get saved. Our fellow workers start to get saved. People come to church and get saved. It's just the light growing. Amen? It's a blessing. You remember the Emancipation Proclamation? That was written in January of 1863. President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation on that date, January 1st. As the nation approached its third year of bloody civil war, the proclamation declared that all persons held as slaves within the rebellious states are and henceforward shall be free. They hadn't conquered the other states yet, but they freed the slaves. It was the government freeing the slave. The story is told about a slave that was working in the field. And this is after this Emancipation Proclamation. And some people didn't hear about it, and some people didn't believe it. But this rider came through, and he says, what are you out here working in the field for? And the slave said, my master told me I had to do it. And he said, you haven't heard, have you? And he said, heard what? That President Lincoln freed the slaves. And here's a copy of the Emancipation Proclamation. Here's a copy for you. You're free. You don't have to do this anymore. And he got all happy and all excited, and he took the piece of paper, and as he's walking away, his master had seen him and said, "What's that all about?" And the slave said, "That man told me I was free." And the master said, "You're not free. Get back to work." And he listened to the master. And he went back in the field. About a month later, this rider was coming back through, and he saw the same slave in the field that he had given the Emancipation Proclamation to. And he said, "What are you still doing out here in the field?" And he said, "Well, I started to leave, but my master told me that that wasn't true." And he said, "You can believe it. It is true. Now go, you're free." We have the Emancipation Proclamation. I mean, this book, amen? And we don't have to listen to the old master anymore. We're not in bondage to that any longer. We're free from that. Free from sin. Free from all of those things. Free from the power of sin, too. And one day we'll be with the Lord. Let your light shine. Be salt. Be what God wants you to be in this wicked generation. And that's what it is. I mean, we can't even talk about some of the things. Just talking about them, it's horrible. And it seems like that's what they want. That's our liberty. We have a right to do that. And that right of the few is growing and growing and growing, and it's affecting all of us, isn't it? You know what I'm talking about. Be a light. Win somebody to Christ. Let your light shine. Let people know you're a Christian. Share the scriptures. Invite somebody to church. God bless you folks for coming today. Amen. We're happy to have you. These are good people. They're a real blessing. Good to have you too, Dallas. Oh, I said your name. Now you're famous. Okay. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing to have them. Amen. And that's what you do. You just share the light. Share the light. Isn't it good? You have a testimony? Not now, but do you have a testimony of salvation? If you have a testimony of salvation, people ought to hear that. They ought to hear it. Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you that anyone who wants their sins forgiven can have them forgiven. All they have to do is call on you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus, we want to thank you today for giving up your rights, for going to the cross, for paying for our sins. And I pray, Lord, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know you as Savior, that they'll realize they're a sinner and they need you to forgive them and give them a home in heaven. I pray, Lord, that they would receive you today in Jesus' name.